What is more useful, discussion or retreat?
It can be both, I think.
Together at the same time?
Yes.
So now, go somewhere to retreat or discussion?
Oh, no, I don't want to retreat.
The people don't see it that way.
We don't mind about people. At moment when we are thinking about people, it's only the thinking. Yeah. One lives alone all the time with one's thought or thinking.
Many would say we're on a retreat right now.
No, for them it's not.
No, for them it's not. Yeah. But for helping, we need to think of people for helping them.
The right word, right understanding, or just helping them to have lopa instead of understanding.
No, to help them with more understanding.
Can they see the difference between lopa and understanding?
It's very hard to explain.
Yeah. So just explain, but we cannot do anything because they have their own inclination. Just give them the right thing.
That's what Ajahn means. Yeah. They are inclined to that. So how can we stop them?
Not the question of stopping them, helping them to see the right way.
But while they still have that idea that it's better there, then they're not
That it is better there. I think they have a feeling that it helps them. It helps them also on the right path.
But what is the difference? According to them, what is the difference between there and here?
I don't know.
But when they go to the quiet place, they don't hear anything about Dhamma.
They can read it, they take books.
They can read,
One has to hear the right thing again and again and consider it. And that doesn't need...
Maybe the consideration of the Dhamma, they think that is good.
They do think that. But as we know, there can be consideration of the Dhamma.
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
Sure, that it has to be in the kitchen, right now. That I don't dispute at all.
But this is the point. It's the idea that it's for the development of the path. That is the issue.
Yeah.
Not the idea of having a relaxing time.
Yeah.
Living in the kitchen, living in the real world, catching the bus, crossing the road is the most difficult because the distractions of the world are so many that it is difficult to separate. You're invested in it, your love of self and what's happening. Many people think that if they go to a retreat or if they meditate, that they're blocking out or they're getting away from those distractions and they feel that this is helping them to discover a clearer view of the path. But as I'm hearing, of course, you're still investing in self by doing that. So you're not really advancing in right understanding, but you feel that you're doing better.
Because there's less irritation or distraction.
The challenge would be to discover right understanding while catching the bus or standing in the kitchen. And my question is, how, and what I'm hearing is that it is listening to and considering.
I think that when the question is how, it's not panya. It's the self.
That's self again,
Again.
I'm stuck with my language.
Tom, that was a really excellent summary.
Now you begin to
see.
Yeah. You cannot leave the self when there is no right understanding enough.
The confusion then for many, as would be for me as well, is... How then can, and once again the word how?
Panya knows.
You must leave the self.
No, that is thinking only.
Okay.
When one is so truthful, the self is very deeply rooted. Unless there is panya, the self is there.
If there is no self, then how can I tell when panya has even arrived? Because once again there is self in the way.
Usually in a day there's no even thinking about seeing. What is it? Hearing, what is it? Is it self or is it not self? Is it permanent or not permanent? Is it not conditioned or it just arrives? When it's not panya, no need to see anything about it. But when it's panya, panya begins to understand everything, even the conditions for the arising of all kinds of reality. Even the hardness is different. The hardness which is conditioned by karma, the hardness which is conditioned by citta, hardness is hardness, but the origination of hardness at that moment is different.
Because of conditions.
Yeah.
This is similar, but also quite different, and I think, at least at this moment for me, a very much more difficult understanding
right.
than I have.
It's not easy.
Well, my understandings as I have grown in my life have been progressively broader to bring comfort to me for, as I said, using a point of view of how to approach life and trying to execute good action. This is very much more complex and very much more difficult, mm-hmm. although the ideas about it, as from self, are the same ideas, similar ideas. This is much more difficult. The idea of meditation, I remember reading very much about how, well, yes, it's wonderful if you meditate, but maybe going in a cave and being very quiet and contemplating, this could be very good in terms of freeing your attachment to the world. But in one instant, back in the world, it's all gone. So what can be the right path?
The understanding what meditation is, the purpose of doing meditation are different. Mm-hmm. Because we can use the term meditation, but it depends on what type and what does it mean or what is it. We just use the term usually without any understanding of reality at all. Mm-hmm. For example, what is meditation and what's the purpose of meditating? To understand or just to have pleasant feeling.
There is another side to it. One of our friends explained that when he was meditating and trying to concentrate, he had lots of aversion because then he started to notice how much lobha and dosa he had, and he hadn't noticed that before. So he was not so quiet, and he started to notice that. That is another side of people who are meditating. It depends.
So what kind of meditating should be?
Well, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So many kinds of
yes,
meditation.
Yes, but we don't mind how many. But yes. What is it that we use the term meditation right now?
It's yes. Considering.
It can be right now, or do we need some place or some other time?
It can be any time.
So that is a yeah. meaning of meditation.
Yeah.
Meditate, to contemplate, to think over.
And that can be done right now, and should be done right
so
now.
So what is meditation?
Yeah.
Very common. It can be just considering, right?
Yeah.
Meditating, considering, contemplating,
yes,
to
yes.
understand, or to what? Or to be calm.
Is there such a thing as right meditation development?
I just have heard the term meditation and different ideas about meditation.
Better not to use the word, isn't it?
That's it. So we really better understand what yeah. meditation is.
Yes.
I think her question is, if meditation is considering, then what distinguishes meditation from other considering?
I don't have the answer.
So meditation doesn't give any understanding at all?
It becomes a question of semantics at some point.
Well, if it's considering, why not just talk about considering?
That's right. I agree. Yeah. I think best not use the word. Because I think conventionally, if you use yeah. the word, it means trying to develop calmness or retreating or
yeah, we have that. This like that. Yes, the connotation is strong to go to a special place and mm-hmm. sit mm-hmm. and...
Well, I think that's trying yeah. to create conditions as well.
But that, they don't realize that they're always lobha following or that lobha is the teacher.
And as long as there are latent tendencies, yes. how can there be less akusala? Impossible. So they don't know the real conditions for the arising of akusala, mm-hmm. because it has to be panya, which eradicate latent tendency yes. only.
And usually when we just think, oh, I just want to do anything in order to have less dosa, it's usually dosa people are concerned about rather than attachment or moha. But isn't it also a kind of an aspect of clinging to oneself, wanting to be a particular way, to be the calmer person, and again, just forgetting about the anusya, the latent tendencies?
And Ludwig, don't you think that if there were any positive results from these retreats, there would be less need for it? Since one has developed more understanding, then one should be ready to have understanding anywhere. But most of these people, if not all, end up wanting to attend more retreats, having more time for meditation.
I think part of it that I have seen is that it's being caught up in changing consciousness and thinking that somehow that is a betterment, that there's been an advancement in your awareness because your consciousness has changed. Mm-hmm. I think for some people meditating, it makes them feel in so different that they think that that's a true path.
But is it better just to hear the direct truth, just have the bitter medicine, even if it means, oh, maybe someone doesn't come back for a few years or something? Or is it better to have a watered-down version of the truth, which is more palatable for people or us?
Difficult. I personally would prefer to hear the bitter medicine. Yes.
They don't have enough accumulation to follow. To me, I don't think that the truth is bitter.
I was just thinking the same as you say.
Yeah.
I don't like the expression bitter truth.
So sweet, in a sense, because it doesn't harm.
So what's satyakarani?
Truthfulness.
Okay.
The truthfulness sincere of the present moment.
Truthfulness. Okay. You have to be so sincere to yourself. So it's difficult to know that people like meditation and they have to be so sincere what motivates them. Very difficult.
Another point is that when these people are having the discussions, they're not being told that they shouldn't go on a retreat. What's being discussed is whether that is necessary for the development of understanding. But they take it as a disapproval of their conduct. But that is their own reading of the situation. All that we discuss in these is what are the conditions for panya to arise.
I don't dispute. I agree.
That is good. And then they can see for themselves.
Ajahn, what are the conditions for panya to arise?
Right now.
Are these the only?
What else?
Okay.
Past?
Accumulations of panya.
Accumulations of panya.
And even Buddha himself couldn't help those who didn't have accumulation for understanding realities, even in his time.
It's a good point, yeah.
And if there is no expectation at all, we don't mind or feel sorry, because it is akusala to be like that. And we don't expect the return of anyone.
It depends.
It depends.
It depends.
The return.
Anachan, I understand that you don't exactly encourage on your birthday that people come and sing happy birthday and bring you a chocolate cake.
I was born already.
Because there is really nothing to celebrate, or what is birth is just a brief flicker that immediately disappears.
If you don't think about it, it's like every day.
Yes.
Okay. Buddha himself didn't have his birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. Dhamma is Dhamma, rising and falling away.
There is another kind of birth, and that is the Aryan birth. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Could you say something about that?
Yeah. From being a putushna, thick with lobha, dosa, and all akusala, right understanding is there. Enlightened the noble truths, all four. And that is the moment of eradication of wrong view, wrong understanding, and doubt about realities. Because before reaching that point, that is right understanding, which gradually eliminates the wrong view about reality right now.
But knowing, let's not discourage people from showing their gratitude.
It can be any time, any day, any moment, like now.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm happy. Even today, it's not my birthday.
It's somebody's birthday.
Anytime.
Somebody's birthday.
Yeah, anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Is anyone born into the world enlightened?
What do you mean?
From other planes.
With
it's
right
possible.
Understanding. From birth.
As a human being.
You mean after becoming a sotapanna or an arahata or what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what those terms mean.
But for example, you have more lives to go when you are a sotapanna, 7 rebirths at most. But I don't know whether it's rebirths in this human world or in a heavenly world. I don't know.
In Buddhism, there are 4 stages of enlightenment. 3 and then the last one, after which there's no more rebirth. But after the first stage of enlightenment, it's possible to be reborn at maximum 7 more lives.
But I think for heavenly planes, higher planes, not so in the human world.
In Tipitaka, there was no one
who
was Sotapanna.
Yes, I know that.
From birth.
I didn't get the last.
We could say that maximum 7 lives.
Yeah.
So in theory, someone could be reborn as a human, but in the whole Tipitaka, there are no examples of this happening.
Rather in higher planes,
in higher planes, yeah.
More conditions.
More conditions for Panya.
As Buddha said, possible, but we don't know conditions.
Yeah. That's what I meant yesterday, too, is the hearing of that truth brings about that attachment to wanting to get there right away.
So when
which
can,
is why I said no shortcuts.
Yeah.
You must live and you must accumulate kusala.
But one can begin to see lopa, even not directly. But begin to understand when it's lopa and when it's not lopa.
A slightly technical question following up from one of Knowings and one of Azita's. In dependent origination, when it refers to bhava, normally it has, as in bhava tanha, lobha for life or
there
continuing.
There are two meanings of bhava tanha. One is the craving, clinging to life, and the other is the lobha with wrong view of sasatatiti.
Eternalism.
Yes. And in the context of dependent origination, which Azita was referring to yesterday, the bhava referred to, as you've mentioned before, refers to karma, which will condition further rebirth, bhava, to sankhara, to chetana.
Lopa condition upadana, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then?
And then?
Upadana condition bhava.
Bhava, yes.
Bhava in that meaning is life, being, in birth. Lopa condition upadana and upadana condition bhava.
Yes.
That is chetana, which will condition life.
Karma or chetana. And according to the commentary, that is what I've always understood, that it refers in that context to karma or chetana, which will which will condition further rebirth. But according to a commentary note, I read that actually in that context there are two meanings. One is referring to
karma
bhava, but also the other is to upapati bhava, rebirth existence, which is the khandhas produced by karma or existence at that time. So actually it's referring to both
right.
to karma and to the
birth.
Karma produced to birth as well. So when it's referring to the birth produced by karma, that is in the next life.
Okay.
So it has that
the occurring of khandhas.
The occurring of khandhas as a result of that karma.
Mm-hmm. So, if I understand right, human birth is a very fortunate birth because here there is a polarity, a mixture of painful and pleasant experience. And because of
I think that because we can develop all kinds of kusala,
yes,
dana and sila and so forth.
In the heavenly worlds, would there be a kind of obsession with all the very, very pleasant objects? Whereas here we sometimes have very much involvement in pleasant objects, but then it becomes unpleasant.
I think that the right conditions must be understanding, no matter it's pleasant, unpleasant, feeling or objects.
So even in the Deva world, where it is very pleasant, that it must be right understanding that just sees it as it is.
Could we say that where the Dhamma is taught is the best?
Even in heaven there are Sala Sudhamma too. Each heaven has Sala Sudhamma.
What is that?
Sala is like the place for Dhamma, discussion and Dhamma.
Oh, yeah.
Each plane, even in Brahma Loka.
Plane,
You can go there.
Like this? Oh, cool.
You can go there. I mean the conversation or the discussion, not the place.
Yeah.
Not in the lower planes.
In?
The dogs don't have any Dhamma Sala.
No.
They have one, but they don't come.